You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Well, hello there, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, June 29th of the year 2011. And I have to say, I'm getting a little cozy on this couch all by myself. I'm stretching out. I'm liking it. I think I'm getting a big head about this. I think I need a dressing room with a star on the door. And I need ice water. And I need crackers on a plate. And someone to feed me grapes. This is what I have decided. I am now the couch. I am the couch. This is me. I am it. No, it's not true. I am still kind of lonely and I'm here by myself and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think I'll probably live. Anyway, so I hope everybody's having a great summer so far. I'm working on my tan. I'm looking nice and golden and, you know, summery, if you will. And, I have a little product, little push. I gotta put out there a little push. You know that Skin So Soft lotion from Avon? You know, there's all this hype about it in the past, about working for mosquitoes and keeping the mosquitoes away? Well, I have first-hand experience that says it works, man, I'm telling ya. It's a little stinky, which is why it's really not so great for a lotion, but for a bug repellent, it's not too bad. Doesn't stink as bad as some. And it works like a charm, and you can put it on your kids, and you can put it on your old people, and you can put it on your middle-aged people. You can put it on all your peoples, and it works awesome. So there you go. A little push for the Skin So Soft by Avon. And honestly, if you have a chance, you need to try this, because it works. Alrighty then. So kids are almost done school. One more day. One more day. Well, today is the day, because it's Wednesday, right? So, today is their last day of school, and now they're home all the time, and they're fighting, and they're hungry, and they're hot, and they're bored. Sounds like good times, right? Yeah. It'll be time for back to school in, what, 60 days? 60-ish? So let's start counting those down, shall we? 60? Next week it'll be 60 minus 7. I have bad math skills, so I'm not even going to attempt a guess, which is really sad. Anyways, so moving on with the show, shall we? This week, I tried my hardest for a Greatest of the 80s. I'm telling you, I was scrounging, but all I could come up with was What About Bob? It didn't come out till 91. So it's not a Greatest of the 80s. It's a, what is it? It's a Nifty 90s is what it is. So, yeah, I think we need a new category and a new theme and a new bunch of hoopla for Nifty 90s. And I have a feeling I've already talked about this before sometime in the last 4 years. But anyway, just live with, go with it. Humor me, you know what I mean. So, yeah, What About Bob? If you haven't seen it, you don't know what you're missing. Honestly, really. Like, the best quotes ever come from this movie. More fun to quote this movie than picking gum off the bottom of a table. I'm serious. Came out in 91, like I said. Stars Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. Directed by Frank Oz. And it is a great movie. But to be honest, to be truthful, I hated it the first time I saw it. It was one of those things that just irritated the crap out of me, and I feel like I've talked about this before, too. But anyway, the whole point of watching it again was for the kids to see it. And so, I will quickly throw out a bunch of statistics that you don't care about, and then I'm going to get the kids down here, and they're going to talk about what they thought of it. So, Bill Murray plays Bob Wiley, who has all kinds of problems, and ends up seeing Richard Dreyfuss, who plays Dr. Leo Marvin, who is a psychiatrist, I think I said that, and he tries to help him, and Bob gets a little too familiar, if you will, and Leo Marvin ends up losing it, and but some really, really excellent performances. Julie Haggerty plays Dr. Leo Marvin's wife, Faye Marvin. The kids are great, although I can't say I ever really saw them in anything else after this that I can recall. Tom Aldridge plays Mr. Gutman character, who is a townsperson who hates Dr. Marvin because he bought his dream house. I haven't said anything about the plot really at all, because either you've seen it or you should see it, and in either case you know what it's about, or you should go and see it and then you'll know what it's about. And probably the kids will give half of it away. Anyway, it was a financial success. It grossed $63 million in its original theatrical run, plus an additional $29 million in video rentals and sales, bringing its overall total to $92 million. Critical reaction was favorable. It has an 82% on the movie review site Rotten Tomatoes. Majority of critics gave it positive reviews. Siskel and Ebert in 91 gave it a thumbs up rating, praising Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss on screen together, as well as the humor of the film. I believe it was Roger Ebert said it was Bill Murray's best movie since Ghostbusters in 84. Gene Siskel gave it a thumbs down. Oh, okay. I assumed that was both of them, but I guess not. He gave it a thumbs down. He thought Murray gave a funny and enjoyable performance, but didn't like Dreyfuss's character and his angry and arrogant behavior, and that's how I felt. I would have been on his side the first time I saw it. I found Dreyfuss's character incredibly annoying. But honestly, after I saw it a few more times, I kind of got over that, and maybe he did too. You never know. So, in the years since its release, it's become a cult favorite, showing on television and even in some psychology classes in schools and colleges. So, I guess there was something to some of the hocus pocus, if you will, in it. Anyway, it was written by Laura Ziskin, who we mentioned, or I believe I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that she had passed away. So this was another one of her babies, probably. Came out on May 17th of 91, so it was a spring release, probably for the summer season. 99-minute running time, and the budget was $35 million. So $35 million to make, and they made, or to produce it, you know, all of the other things that go into making a movie, and grossed $92 million. So did okay. Anyway, let's call the kids in here and see what they thought about What About Bob. Alright, so Connor is otherwise occupied for the moment. So here we are with Emily. And this was the first time you had seen What About Bob. You didn't know anything about what the movie was about. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really funny. I thought it was pretty awkward, and I thought that Bob was pretty stupid and he didn't really know much. He wasn't good at, like, everybody loved him except for the doctor and...
Yeah. What was the funniest thing in the movie?
Where he tries to blow him up. Like, the doctor's so irritated, he gets angry and he decides to blow him up to get rid of him. So he ties him to a chair in the middle of a forest and puts two bags of explosives with gunpowder and stuff, and he sets the timer and he runs away, and then somehow Bob frees himself.
Okay, don't give too much away. But anyway, yeah. You thought that part was funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. Who was your favorite character in the movie?
Bob. And Gil.
Yeah, you liked the fish.
Gil. Good morning, Gil. I say, good morning, Gil.
See, already quoting lines. Woohoo. And what was your least favorite character in the movie?
My least favorite character was the mom.
Oh, really?
Her voice was so high, it was really irritating.
She talked very much like this all the time. Doctor, okay, it's all right. Leo, are you okay? What about Bob? How come you don't like Bob? That's how she talked, right?
I know.
Yeah, she was kind of... That her voice was very irritating. And I'm pretty sure she was doing that on purpose, though. All right, well, thank you for being on the show today. And we're going to see what Connor thinks. It'll be like a reveal. He won't know what you said, and you won't know what he said, and then we'll see what you both say. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so hit pause. All right, now Connor is here. Connor's in the house. And he's going to tell us what he thinks of What About Bob. So you hadn't seen it. You didn't know anything about it. Did you think it was funny? Did you like it?
It was okay. I liked it. It was okay.
Oh, talk to me. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find it boring?
No. It was just sort of strange.
Strange how?
Well, it was weird.
Okay, you're not giving me anything here. It was strange. It was weird.
It was... I liked it. It was okay.
What was your favorite character?
I think I liked Gil.
He liked the fish the best?
Yeah, I guess so.
He wasn't in much of it.
Yeah. Okay, I liked Bob. Bob was funny.
Yeah?
Actually, I liked his doctor's son.
Yeah. He was about Emily's age, I guess. But yeah, you could relate to him.
Yep.
Yeah. What character did you dislike? I shouldn't say hate.
The doctor.
The doctor?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like the doctor. Why?
Because at one part he got sort of scary.
Scary?
Yeah.
He scared you? He did get a little intense, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Connor, for being here today and for giving your opinions on What About Bob. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Not a whole lot of impressions there, apparently. But, you know, for myself anyway, it took a few watchings to really bring this movie into the heart of me, if you will. And I mentioned that already before, but it is weird, and so it's hard to wrap your mind about around it a little bit, and some of it is so annoying that you can't get past that. But you know what? Honestly, give it another try. If you've only ever seen it once, you need to watch it at least 4 more times. At least. And then you need to find people who like it, who do really like it, and have them quote it to you for a whole weekend, and then you will love it. That's probably about how it worked for me. So there you have What About Bob. Alright, moving on to a little entertainment news. Alright, so at the box office last weekend, we had Cars 2 out of the gate with a bang in first place. And they made $66.14 million this weekend. $66 million in one weekend. Honestly, that's just insane. Bad Teacher in number 2 place. And last week it was in number... Oh no, Bad Teacher wasn't even on there last week either. I guess that just opened. So Bad Teacher out of the gate with $31 million. Only half. Half of what Cars made. Cars 2. I tell you that, Pixar. I should have bought shares in them a long time ago. Green Lantern came in at number 3. Super 8 at number 4. X-Men First Class was number... Oh, sorry, Mr. Popper's Penguins was number 5. X-Men First Class was 6. The Hangover Part 2 was 7th. Bridesmaids was 8th. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides at number 9. And rounding out the top 10, Kung Fu Panda 2. So, with a total box office take of $153 million in 5 weeks, Pirates has done about twice that in 6 weeks. So, I'd say Pirates is doing all right for Disney, too. And I guess Cars 2 is it officially Disney, or is it Pixar, or is it both? I think Disney bought Pixar, didn't they? Anyway, whatever. Moving on to some of the... I don't know... What have I... I haven't seen a lot of the movies yet this summer. We did see Kung Fu Panda 2. That was great. We saw... Oh, that's about it, I guess. Oh, yeah. And actually, I did see Super 8 this week. And honestly, really, really good film. So let's jump over to Super 8. It is science fiction, pretty much, basically. Written and directed by J.J. Abrams. Produced by Steven Spielberg. Starring Joel Courtney, who I assume is the main guy, little boy, and he did a really, really good job. Elle Fanning also in it, and I happened to look her up, and she is Dakota Fanning's sister, her younger sister. And she is 13. So what happened to Dakota Fanning? I thought she was little, and now she's not anymore? She's a teenager? Good grief. Man, time goes so fast. It's kind of scary. Kyle Chandler, also in this movie. You may know him from, he has been in a few other things. Hang on. He looked so familiar to me. I was trying to think, who the heck, how do I know him? He has been in probably what you most would know him from, King Kong. That was kind of what I knew him from. He was also in the Day the Earth Stood Still remake. And, that's about, he was in China Beach. Really? Oh, he was only in one episode, though. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, also a very talented actor, and he did a very good job. Great performance. So yeah, this is an interesting movie. It is very nostalgic, I will say that. It's very, very, very story-driven, which is so awesome. Although, at times feels slow-moving, I think, because of that. You know, we've been so programmed with these summer blockbusters to just be crazy, 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 crazy action the whole time, never stopping, always going, moving, fighting, car chases, cars blowing up, explosion, gunshots, and nonstop right through to the end. And I think because this is not that way, it does actually feel a bit slow in places, but it is telling a story, and that is really, I think, the whole point of the movie, and everything else around it is just gravy, if you will. The story is the potatoes of the thing. Anyway, I don't want to say a whole lot because very purposefully it has been kept very quiet, and so I don't want to say a whole lot, but I know everybody knows that it's kids are making home movies and they see a train derail and then it goes from there. And let me just say that the movie the kids are making actually plays a fairly big role in the movie. And don't leave before the credits are over. I'll just say that, shall I? So, it is already doing quite well, according to the box office. Although I was surprised it came in at 4 and not at number 1. Although it's been out for 3 weeks, I guess. So I guess that's not a big surprise. I'm not good with numbers, in case you hadn't noticed. Anyway, I think this is the second time I mentioned that. I'm math challenged. I don't know what else to say about it. It does one thing that I did not know about it that is I could probably tell you without giving too much away is it takes place in the 70s, and I loved it. I loved the cars. I loved the interior decor. It felt very homey and nostalgic, and I think the older we get, the more we like to think about what things were like when we were younger and life was simpler. And so that was part of that part I really, really enjoyed. And there are car chases, and there is fighting, and there is things blowing up, and there is a monster. So it has all of the things that a summer movie should have, but it just happens to tell a story as well. So I highly recommend it. I'm going to say that. I would probably give it a full couch plus the ottoman if I was going to rate it. And so you should go out and see it. That's what my last word on that. So moving on. Last week we were talking about the top 50 summer movies of all time. And we did number 50 through 49, I believe. Did I? No, that would be one. It's a good thing I can laugh at myself, or else I would have to cry. Okay, so I did 50 through 41. So I didn't even do 10, I did 9. Unless I happen to mention this one that I'm about to re-mention. In any case, number 40, top movie of all time. Number 40 of the top place. It's the 40th. RoboCop. Yes. RoboCop. That movie came out in 87, but I did not see it until fairly recently. And honestly, it was worth seeing, I think. And another one that if you have not seen it, it's probably worth it. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade comes in at number 39. And of the Indiana Jones movies, it's probably number 2-ish. It's certainly better than the very last one that just came out. So I can agree with this position. And I think just about everybody's seen it. It was also a movie from the 80s. came out in 89. Best buddy movie, apparently, according to this. And I think the chemistry that Sean Connery and Harrison Ford had made the movie. And that's kind of what they're saying here. And again, another good buddy movie. Number 38, Lethal Weapon 2. Come on, Danny Glover and Mel Gibson? Seriously. And also an 80s movie? Totally. You bet. Loved it. Number 38, Lethal Weapon 2. Number 37, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Makes for a great ride at Disneyland. I have that to say about it. Also an 80s movie. Boy, the 80s are cleaning up here this week. Number 36, The Mummy Returns. Not an 80s movie. This movie came out in 2001. Brendan Fraser, who I love. Good old Canadian boy. Rachel Weisz, who I also love. Not Canadian. Arnold Vosloo, I think is how you say his name. Of course, totally rocks in this movie. And The Rock, also in this movie. If you're a Rock fan, you might want to see it just for that reason. Who knows? People see movies for stranger reasons than that. So that was 36, The Mummy Returns. Number 35, Aliens. I believe that was the first, if I am not wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Aliens was the second one, I think. Also an 80s movie, 86. Of course, Sigourney Weaver in her penultimate role, if you will. Bill Paxton, Lance Henriksen, Carrie Henn, Michael Biehn. Great, great, great cast. And Paul Reiser, so funny to see him in this after, you know, I think, I'm pretty sure, almost positive, that it was that miniseries he was in, or the comedy series that he was in the 80s and 90s. What was that called again? Anyway, that was really all I knew him for. So to see him in this movie was kind of funny. Because he really hasn't done a lot outside of that with Helen Hunt. What the heck was that show called? Anyway, I'm not going to bother looking it up. You know which one I mean. Gotta say, I missed that show. Okay, so anyway, moving on. Number 34, Top Gun. Seriously, Top Gun? I think some of these should have been in the top 10. I'm going to have to argue with some of these. Top Gun does not deserve 34th place of 50 summer movies of all time. It should be in the top 10, easy. Easy in the top 10. Huh. That disappoints me. That disappoints me. I think Maverick deserved better than that. Hi, Bella. Bella's right here, hanging out with me in case you heard her making some noise back there. So yeah, another 80s movie, of course. 86. I don't know. I think it should be in the top 10. I disagree with that one. 33, Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Also an 80s movie. I think also deserves to be in the top 10. Honestly, Return of the Jedi is probably one of my favorites. And I know there are people who hate the Ewoks, but I didn't care about the Ewoks. And I really liked this movie. And it was the first of the original trilogy that I saw in the theater, and maybe that's why I love it. But anyway, I think it deserves to be further down the list as well. So I have to disagree with that one. 32, Empire Strikes Back. Another Star Wars movie. What are they doing up in the 30s? I'm not even like a killer Star Wars fan. I'm really not. But really, like, I'm disagreeing with this again. 31, though, can stay here. That's just fine with me. Gladiator came out in 2000. Russell Crowe. Joaquin, is that how you say his name? I don't know. Phoenix. Before he went kind of weird. This movie was way too violent for me. And I'm a girl, so I can say that without feeling ashamed. 31's probably just fine for that movie. Gladiator, number 31. So next week we will jump down to 30 through 21 and talk about them. And before I forget, we got a very sweet email from a listener of ours who has been a longtime listener, and I meant to read her email last week because she sent it last week, funny enough, but I forgot, and so I'm reading it this week, and it's not long, and there isn't a whole lot to it, but I wanted to mention it anyway. So it is from Davia Archibald, and She wrote, "Just thought I would drop you guys a note. It has been a long time. I hope you guys have a good summer. I have been enjoying Michelle's solo sessions." In brackets, "Not that I don't miss you, Kent." Bracket, "I appreciate the time you guys take to make these podcasts and look forward to them each Wednesday." Yay! I wish we still had studio swag to give away. Because I think she deserves a little swag just for being a long-term listener. And Walt, too. There's a couple out there, you know. And we do appreciate the fact that you're listening. So, I believe that's about it for this week's show. I think I covered everything. And I hope you are having an excellent summer so far. And hopefully Kent will be back on the couch with me soon. Because otherwise, I might not let him back. Because I'm starting to like it just a little too much. Anyway, have a great week, and we will talk to you probably next week. Bye!
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.